What's up, everyone? It's me, AJ, and you're listening to Housewives Happy Hour, and it's time for the ultimate breakdown. All right, everyone, welcome back. Today I'm going to be starting with Beverly Hills. This week, Erica announced the launch of her new hair extension line called Pretty Mess Hair. She did a interview with People on Thursday saying, "I have worn every type of hair extension on and off stage and on TV for over a decade, so I know what I love and what works best for all situations. You name it, I've worn it." Pretty Mess Hair is going to be offering both sewn-in and tape-in extensions, which will work both for novice and seasoned hair extension users. Like myself, because I'm a hairdresser, so this is pretty great. I'm interested to see what this is going to be like. She said, "It's quick and easy to maintain, but still considered a professional product." She added, "There is not a look I will not try, because the great thing about extensions is that you can quickly and quite easily take them out and still have your original hair. No permanent commitment, which makes it fun." Erica admits that working on her hair extension line has been refreshing amid her divorce from her estranged husband, Tom, and their mounting legal woes. She said, "I've definitely had quite an interesting year, and being a part of a new business venture is both exciting and refreshing. It gives me butterflies. This is a new chapter of my life, and I'm grateful to be moving in a glamorous, wonderful new direction." I actually think that this is a great business for her to get into. I'm really interested to try out the extensions, only because I have a few clients that I think would really benefit from these extensions. I'm assuming they're going to be pretty high quality. I'll let you guys know where you can buy them. I don't know if there's like a website or whatever, but I'm really interested to try these. I think this is a great step for Erica to be starting a business, launching a business, amid her divorce. I think this is just great, and obviously a way to make money for her to support herself further. So I do have some not so great news. I did post this on my Instagram this past week. Just a month after Dorit was held at gunpoint during a home invasion, her husband PK was arrested on suspicion of DUI. According to Daily Mail, PK was arrested on suspicion of DUI on November 23rd after drinking wine with his dinner. He was pulled over on 101 in Los Angeles and blew a .081 during a breathalyzer test. He was arrested and taken into custody in Van Nuys at midnight. While there, he was tested again and blew .073. The legal limit, blood alcohol limit in California, is .08. So it does seem to be pretty high. At the time of being pulled over, PK was alone. Dorit and their two children were not in the vehicle. PK spent an hour at the station before being driven home by a highway patrol officer. At home, he was met by former LAPD officers who are currently guarding his home after the violent home invasion they experienced in October. The attorney of PK, his name's Alan Jackson, he spoke with Daily Mail saying PK was arrested and cited on November 23rd on suspicion of DUI while out with a business colleague. He consumed a glass of wine with dinner. Following a traffic stop, it was determined that he may have been close to the legal limit. He regrets the fact that he did not take alternate transportation home that evening. PK takes the allegations extremely seriously and fully cooperated with the authorities. This would mark the first and only such incident in PK's long driving history. He has learned a valuable lesson. So initially, I felt kind of bad. So according to attorney Ronald Richards, who we know from, the Housewives world on Twitter, he loves breaking down all the legal woes facing the Real Housewives. PK blew under the legal limit and will not be charged with the DUI. He tweeted on December 7th, "The Paul Kemsley citation for DUI. He actually tested under the legal limit. He will never be charged. The CHP actually drove him home, which is VIP treatment, probably because they felt bad for taking him in, only to discover he was legally below .08. Odd, no LASC booking data." Despite his lucky break, fans don't seem to be pretty happy that PK was driving while consuming alcohol. One fan tweeted, "He was drinking. Should have never been driving and VIP treatment." Another added, "Should be zero before getting behind the wheel of a vehicle, no matter what country you're in." Another person said, "Is this fair treatment or money makes things happen? By the way, stay home if you can't drive sober. Let's look at the bright side. He didn't kill anyone. I'm sure Dorit will take care of him with this embarrassment." Others are accusing Dorit and PK of leaking the story to Daily Mail for a storyline on Beverly Hills. One person said, because they're faking all this shit for storylines. Another person said, also, it just broke via Daily Mail 2 weeks later. Do the Kemsleys want attention and a storyline? Another person said, storyline canceled. So, not going to lie, when this article first came out on Daily Mail, I did think it was a little weird that they were saying that he got a DUI or suspicion, or he was arrested with suspicion of a DUI on November 23rd, and then the story was now leaking this week. I thought that was a little weird. So I did do some digging, and I found out, you know, that attorney Ronald Richards is saying that he blew under the legal limit. None of this happened. So I'm kind of wondering why they would have his attorney come forth and say, you know, that he blew whatever he blew. Or I guess that wasn't what the attorney said. That was, the attorney was basically responding to the public. But I thought it was kind of weird. So anyways, I was wondering why Dorit hadn't said anything. So basically, she publicly addressed her husband's arrest for the DUI that came to light on December 6th. So per Page Six, Dorit basically told a photographer while leaving the People's Choice Awards on Tuesday that PK was regretful of the incident, but noted he was barely over the limit. Dorit said he was very regretful. He fully understands the nature and danger of drinking and driving. He was barely over the limit, and he fully understands and reassures me that it will never happen again. That's what she had to say. It sounds a bit weird to me. I mean, honestly, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if she was kind of coming up with a storyline, because I did hear things of Dorit kind of getting demoted. So it is kind of interesting that they're, you know, got all this stuff going on over these last couple of weeks, and definitely will be addressed on the show, I'm sure, because there's pretty much nothing else that they could talk about other than what else has been on the news. So stay tuned. I'll let you guys know if I know anything else. But what do you all think of this situation? I think that it's kind of bizarre. That's actually all I have for Beverly Hills. I'm going to move over to The Real Housewives of Miami, which premieres on December 16th. It's going to be season 4. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a background for those of my listeners who don't know. Real Housewives of Miami did previously air seasons 1, 2, and 3, I believe 7 or 8 years ago. If you are interested in watching the previous seasons, they are available on Peacock, because the new season will be airing on Peacock. My thoughts and opinions on the past 3 seasons. Season 1 is obviously really kind of it's kind of vintage in the Housewives world. It's only 7 episodes or 7 or 8 episodes, so it is very short. I would say that Season 2 is definitely a must-see. It was really interesting to watch that. Season 3 was good too, and it's kind of sad that they had to end it that way, because there was probably a lot left unsaid. But we're kind of getting a fresh new cast. So the only returning cast members full-time are Alexia, Lisa, and Larsa. And Larsa was only on Season 1. She left after Season 1. So, and then we will have Marisol, Adriana, they will be coming back as friends of. So we will still see them on the show, but it won't be as much. So Joanna Krupa and Leah Black did not return for the show. So if you do go back and watch the other seasons, just know that they do not return. Okay, so on the topic of Miami, I'm going to read you guys the bios of these ladies, since I'm interested to share these with you guys, only because I want to know about the newbies, but also kind of catch up with these lovely ladies who have been on the show before. So we're going to start with Alexia. And these are bios according to Bravo.com, but I know a lot of people don't go to the website, so I saved them for y'all. All right, so Alexia, this Cuban Barbie holds the pulse of Miami's Latin culture. As the executive editor of Venue magazine, Alexia spotlights the latest fashion trends as well as up-and-coming Latin film and TV stars. From photo shoots with Mark Anthony to luncheons with President Obama, Alexia and her husband Herman are the real deal when it comes to the who's who in Miami. Alexia loves to spend time at her Miami Beach home, and she admits at times more of an older... and admits she is at times more of an older sister to her two sons, Peter and Frankie. So I wanted to share this, even though this is kind of an older bio. This is what, you know, they have on Bravo for her. She's actually not with Herman anymore, and that's going to be kind of a major I've heard it's going to be kind of a major topic in her storyline for season four. So we will get to learn who she is with now and kind of catch up on her life post Miami season three. Next, we have Lisa Hochstein. Lisa Hochstein is an activist, fitness guru, fashionista, beauty expert, and model. An athlete since birth, she was born in Toronto, Canada, and has always been passionate about health and fitness. As a child, she was a trained dancer and began participating in pageants and modeling at an early age. This model turned housewife and philanthropist married legendary Miami plastic surgeon Dr. Lenny Hochstein, known as the Boob God of Miami. In 2009 at their gorgeous Sunset Island mansion. Ever since, this power couple has been taking the Miami social scene by storm and traveling the world together to exotic locations such as Venice, Saint-Tropez, and Paris. The couple recently purchased a house on Star Island where they plan to move next year with their dog Leo showing her beauty inside out. Lisa holds a Halloween party every year to raise money for different charities, including the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Humane Society, the Susan G. Komen Race for Cure, and many others. This also is a older bio. I believe they did move into their home in Star Island, and I believe that she has children now, which is great because they were trying for the longest time, so I can't wait to see her as a mom. It's going to be definitely interesting to see. Next, we have Larsa. Again, this is probably going to be kind of an older bio, but this is just going to give you an insight into who she really is. A trend-setting model, reality TV star, and mother of four, Larsa Pippen was born to inspire others and is on a mission to become one of the most successful CEOs in the country. Growing up in Chicago as the daughter of a real estate tycoon and entrepreneur Glenn Younan, Larsa always had the burning desire to become a business titan herself. She graduated from the University of Illinois with a bachelor's degree in political science. Larsa has spent years designing beautiful and timeless pieces, and in August 2020, she made her dream come true by launching her own jewelry line, Larsa Marie, which features high-end, affordable luxury pieces. "Every woman deserves to feel beautiful," Larsa said. "I take so much pride in my designs. They are all made with love and so much attention to detail. My goal is for this line to be sold all around the world in every department store. I hope my jewelry can make everyone feel special. A simple piece of jewelry can add to a woman's confidence." You can now shop Larsa Marie on her online website and in person at Saks Fifth Avenue. Larsa currently resides in Los Angeles with her four children, Scotty Jr., Preston, Justin, and Sophia. So, obviously, she does not reside in Los Angeles anymore because she's on The Real Housewives of Miami. I believe her husband and her did get a divorce or are in the process of getting a divorce. Or I think they got one before COVID. So, I'm sure we'll learn about that. I'm excited to learn more about her only because I really only learned about her in season one. Saw her briefly on a few episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So, it's going to be nice to kind of know who she is present day. On to the newbies. I hope I'm saying her name right. I guess we'll find out when we watch the show. Gertie Abreria. I hope I'm saying that right. Born on the island of Haiti, Gertie Abreria moved to Paris with her family at the tender age of one. At 9 years old, her parents decided to move to Miami, where Gertie went to secondary school and college. She quickly fell in love with the art of hosting and event planning and made this her career. Living and traveling around the world, she has expanded her palette of various global cultures. Gertie also expanded her craft to catering on Fisher Island, which added extensive food and beverage knowledge that increased her loyal and diverse client base. She received a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and formed Gertie Design, which allowed her to have her own events and floral studio on the prestigious island. In over 7 prominent years, her career took off. She was not only able to plan events, but also fully and conceptually design and produce events in-house for her clients. Gertie Design has cemented itself with Harper's Bazaar, and in 2020, they named Gertie one of the top planners in the world. Gertie is one of 7 siblings, a mother of 2 boys, and has been with her high school sweetheart husband for 26 happy years. She is currently based out of Miami and New York, but travels often for destination festivities. When asked, "Where are you based?" her answer is, "Out of an airplane." Well, she sounds like a very successful woman. I cannot wait to meet her on screen. I'm sure she's going to be great. Next up, we have Julia Lemagova. She is a former Russian beauty queen who was first runner-up at Miss USSR in 1990 and later elevated to be crowned Miss USSR following the disqualification of the original winner. As Miss US, SR, sorry, I don't know why I can't say that, in 1990, Lemagova represented the Soviet Union at the Miss Universe 1991 pageant, where she placed second runner-up. Julia moved to Western Europe after being crowned Miss USSR and relocated to Paris, where she opened her first well-being center, Joya Spa, in 2003 and launched a skincare and spa line, Russi Blanche, holy shit, in 2009. As a successful international fashion model, Julia has worked with very big and high-end quality brands, traveling all over the world for over a decade, and was very much loved by all her clients. Her modeling career ran from 1991 to 2005 until the birth of her first child. Julia has also had a range of television roles, mostly in the UK. In 2014, Julia found true love and was proposed to by her current wife, Martina, at the US Open. They married after only being engaged for a few months. Julia and Martina live in Miami with their two daughters, Emma and Victoria. Over the past few years, Julia has run a little farm while raising her family, and she also has a menagerie of animals. During the day, she can be found on the farm feeding the chickens or milking goats, and by night, she enjoys the Miami nightlife. Julia is proud to be a part of the LGBTQIA+ community and makes history as the first LGBTQIA housewife to be a part of the Bravo franchise. Julia is living her best life and excited for what is to come next to come. I don't know why I thought they said she's the first LGBTQIA+ housewife. I don't know why I think that Bronwyn was the first on Orange County, but I think that Bravo just kind of wanted to forget her. And lastly, we have Nicole Martin. This is a fairly long bio, so brace for it and give me a chance to breathe in between. As a successful board-certified anesthesiologist, award-winning teacher, and lecturer in Miami, Dr. Nicole Martin's triumph over adversity, determination, and hard work form the foundation for her professional and personal success. Nicole is a Miami native whose medical career began and continues at the University of Miami and Miller School of Medicine, where she quickly rose from student to intern to assistant professor of clinical anesthesiology. As the first physician in her family, Nicole's interest in the medical field was originally inspired by her high school anatomy and physiology teacher. While in medical school, through a rotation of subspecialties, Nicole found herself enamored by anesthesiology. She loved the diversity of patient care and the variety of surgical procedures offered by the specialty. She loved how the day-to-day was always changing and never boring. One day, she could be taking care of an infant and the next, a senior citizen. Today, Nicole is an attending physician at the Lenner Foundation Medical Center. She is involved in patient care and the teaching of medical students and resident physicians in the field of anesthesiology. The University of Miami is very dear to her heart, as she feels fortunate to have been able to learn, grow, and work in the same place where she took her first biology class nearly two decades ago. In addition to being board certified by the American Board of Anesthesiology, Nicole's certifications also include basic life support and advanced cardiac life support by the American Heart Association. She is a member of the American Society of Anesthesiologists, the American Society of Regional Anesthesia and Pain Medicine, the Florida Society of Anesthesiologists, and is also a recognized teacher and lecturer. She has also co-written several book chapters and numerous scientific articles. Nicole is open to changing things up and taking a risk in sharing her story. With this new platform she has been given, she hopes to provide inspirational career and life advice to other young women. She is no longer ashamed by her past, but instead hopes to share the message that your history doesn't define you. She believes that women are capable of doing anything that they put their hearts and minds to. The self-described adventurer who loves to travel is a proud mother to two-year-old Grayson, the son she shares with her partner Anthony Lopez, a successful board-certified trial lawyer. When she is not pulling 24-hour shifts at the hospital, her family enjoys the diversity of Miami life, including a favorite pastime of cruising the crystalline Florida waters on their state-of-the-art Riva 56 rival boat. A fitness enthusiast, Nicole engages in running, yoga, Pilates, boxing, and working out with a personal trainer. The very competitive couple plays tennis and then winds down to indulge their love of cooking, dining out, savoring wine, and relaxing at home in Coral Gables with Grayson and their dog, Maxwell. Whew! I actually ended up shortening that. If you guys wish to read the whole thing, you could go to bravotv.com and you could read it yourself. I think that was enough to do us in. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to Miami. I can't wait to see what these ladies bring to the table. It looks to be really good. If you have not yet seen the trailer, you can head on over to @housewiveshappyhour to watch the trailer. That's it for Miami for now. I'm going to move over to New York, actually. I don't have much press for New York, although I do have a snippet of an interview from the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast with my dear friend David Yontef. He did interview Carol Radziwill from New York, and she did have some thoughts on Ebony's casting, which I thought was worth sharing with you guys. A quote from Carol is, "She's very intelligent from what I saw and very willing to go to the mat on subjects that I tried to a little bit in the way that I could. But she was fierce and I kind of liked that. But it was just like, this is totally wrong. This is the totally wrong show." She also added, it just feels like she was completely miscast in that. She would be great on The View and some of those political adjacent shows. When it comes to Bravo's plans to revamp Roni for season 14, Carol has one suggestion for the network. She said, despite Ramona's notorious bad behavior and allegations, she made a racially motivated comment. Carol thinks Ramona is the backbone of the franchise. She said, Ramona isn't afraid to make herself look crazy. She's the workhorse. She is engaging with all the women in the way that she tries to connect all the fights and make drama and stuff. And a lot of it did not make her look good, but in that way, she's really carrying the show. I have heard this before, by the way, but I was surprised that Carol said this. It was reported that Ramona had said a while ago, this is why we shouldn't have black people on the show. And Ramona did deny the claim, saying that she never said that. But as a result, Bravo has put Roni on pause as they work to revamp and revive the franchise. Rumor has it that Roni won't be returning until 2023. I will let you guys know if I hear anything otherwise, but we're sticking with that so far. Moving on over to Orange County, Tamra, former cast member Tamra, spilled some major tea about the newbie Noella Bergener on her new podcast with Teddy that they started called Two Teas in a Pod. While chatting with the former Beverly Hills star Teddy, sorry, I don't know why I can't speak, Tamra revealed that Noella shared pictures of her husband James' massive dick. I don't know why I'm laughing like a 14-year-old boy. She also claims that Noella passed around a video of her and her husband having sex. Tamra confessed, Noella pulls out her phone and shows me a picture of her husband's dick, to which Teddy replied, what? And Tamra said, and I'm telling you, it was this big, and she makes a gesture with her hands. She continued, instantly I thought they don't have a good relationship because there is no way in hell I'm showing anyone my husband's wiener. Teddy added, well, I thought they probably don't have a good relationship because they live with her mom. If I live with my husband's mom, could you imagine living with your mom and having a sex dungeon? Tamra also revealed, well, if it wasn't bad enough, she proceeds to show us a video now. She's passing the phone around the table of her husband doing her from behind. I think she's just really sex free. Then on Instagram, Jeff Epstein, who I guess is a podcaster, claimed, she also showed me the pic. Noella then fired back at Tamra's comments on Instagram, writing, but would you do a podcast about it? Ick. Tamra shared some things with me too, but I don't step on friends to rise up. It's surreal to see the behind the back mean girl gross from the front. I'm never going to change. Just be more careful who I consider a friend. Naturally, Tamra wasn't having any of it. She told Noella they weren't friends and that she's not sorry for revealing the tea. She said, sorry, you showed a bunch of strangers at a dinner table, and from what I hear, you do it often. Not judging, didn't know it was a secret. Why are you offended? By the way, I'm not your friend. I met you once. I have to say, I do think it was a little shady for her to reveal that. I mean, even if Noella did reveal that, which, by the way, is completely and utterly bizarre, I don't know that I would talk about it on... I mean, being a podcaster myself, I don't know that I would talk about somebody like that on a podcast, but I mean, I guess they're trying to get listens, so I definitely understand that, but I don't know, that's kind of weird. It kind of grosses me out a little bit. I feel like that should have been left unsaid, but whatever. And to close off with Orange County, I have an interview that Heather Dubrow did with the Pay Attention Police podcast, where she made it very clear that she will never join the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip spinoff show. She said, never. It's never happening. I think it's a phenomenal idea, and I'm not judging it at all. It looks fun, and I haven't watched it yet. It's just not my thing. She also noted that handling the drama on a regular season of Real Housewives is so hard that she couldn't imagine the drama on a mashup show. She continued saying, "At least you know with one group of people that I know, and this is an authentic group that I have friendships with and relationships with, is one thing. But to go off, I don't know, it sounds like too much anxiety for me." As for the possibility of her returning for another season of OC, she admits that she couldn't say, but is certainly open to the possibility. She said, "Ask me again in a few months." When it comes to season 16, Heather said, "I think we've made a really good season. I think the audience is going to be incredibly satisfied, and it's what I think they were asking for, and in that way, I think it's great. It's a transitional season in the best way, and it ends in a way that I've never ended a season before, so I think it's going to be great." I hope she's not considering leaving, because she just got back, and she's not allowed to leave. We have to protect her at all costs. So that's it for Orange County. I'm going to move over and conclude with Salt Lake City. I just have one quick snippet, interview, whatever you want to call it, that I want to share with you guys. So actress Jennifer Lawrence is a Real Housewives super fan, if you didn't already know that. But she is not a fan of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jen Shah. In a new interview with Vanity Fair, sorry, that's my dog's toy. she had some choice words about Jen, claiming the reality TV star has a total lack of accountability. She said, she could write a dissertation on the mesmerizing toxicity of Jen Shah. She said, "She has the strongest case of personality disorder I've ever seen in my life. You know those people who don't take accountability ever, to where you almost feel jealous? Total lack of accountability, lack of shame." She said, "I'm almost like, how dare you? I lie in bed worrying about accidentally hurting someone's feelings, worrying about everything. That's probably why it burns my biscuit so much." I thought it was crazy that she said that. I mean, I definitely know where she's coming from. I just think that Jen is totally going to, you know, reach out, or not reach out, but she's going to comment on that for sure. Definitely an interesting thing to say, and definitely an interesting way to describe Jen. I mean, I'm not going to lie. She's not entirely wrong, but I definitely think it's interesting for her to say that in a Vanity Fair article. Wow, what great press for Jen. Well, my friends, we have reached the end of the Ultimate Breakdown. I hope you enjoyed it. Here is your flash filming update. Atlanta is currently still filming. Beverly Hills is currently still filming. Miami is going to be airing December 16th on Peacock. New Jersey is most likely going to air in February of 2022. Speaking of New Jersey, if you have not already listened to my interview with Margaret Joseph from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, feel free to go to anchor.fm/housewiveshappyhour right now so you can listen to the interview. Moving on. Real Housewives of New York is still on hiatus, returning most likely in 2023. Orange County airs on Wednesdays. Potomac has concluded their season, but they have not yet begun filming. Salt Lake City has, we passed the midway point because we got the midseason trailer. So I think we have just a little over, I'm assuming, 8 episodes left. But yes, and that is your flash filming update for you. Also, Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip has concluded. You can stream all the episodes now on Peacock. And let me know what you think on my Instagram. I would love to hear everybody's opinion on that. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe so you know when the new episodes arrive. If you have any news to share, feel free to message me so I can talk about all your favorite tea. Follow me on Instagram at Housewives Happy Hour with AJ for updates on the podcast and the latest news regarding all things Housewives. Until next time, this was Housewives Happy Hour with AJ.